Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not going to lie. When I got the text this week and I looked at it, I go, oh no, that's not the one to do for Consecration Sunday. Whenever you have Consecration Sunday, a Sunday set aside usually to talk about giving, you don't necessarily want a text that talks about hell not once, not twice, but in fact several times with excruciating detail. That's not quite what you want to go with. And so I thought a long time about changing the text. I get it. I understand that talking about that and talking about what Christ is talking about can be a little uncomfortable. We've been there, done that. We've experienced maybe preachers that have tried to lay on the guilt or lay on the threat. And I didn't necessarily want today's message to come off as guilt or a threat. As a great Lutheran, I love Paul's text in Corinthians where he talks about how God loves a happy giver. But even that, honestly, over the years, I've seen it twisted and turned. Twisted and turned until you get the message of, do you want God to love you a little bit more? Here's how you do it. We've been there. We've seen it. We've seen people use giving as a mode of guilt. We've seen it come off as a threat. And let's be frank, we've seen those scoundrels out there that sometimes get busted later on for doing the wrong thing with people's money. And so I hesitated a little bit. Back in college, I think it was my second year of college, sophomore in college, internet for me was still kind of a big deal. It was new for me. So early 2000s, over 20 years ago. Isn't that scary? Scary for me. I did what a lot of people do. I Googled myself. I Googled myself and I got two hits on people that were named like me. One was a weightlifter in Alabama. Supposedly, he was going to try to go for the Alabama state record. I don't think he made it. He tried, though. The next was a pastor, and I was like, all right, I'm going to school to be a pastor. Here's a pastor. The only problem, the reason I got a hit on him was because he was in Connecticut, and he was being arrested for stealing a bunch of money from the church. So I was like, well, let's talk about weightlifting. I'd rather talk about weightlifting than that. I mean, who wants to be associated with that? Who wants to be that kind of person? We know there's scoundrels out there. We know that there's people out there that will just use guilt or threats just to try to get that extra dime. However, there's another side to that. And the other side is that if I never talk about giving, if I never talk about giving at all, I do a disservice. Every time they do a survey and they ask, what are the top things that impact your spiritual life? In the top five, almost always, giving is part of it. Almost always. Usually number three or number four, it gets listed as one of the top things that impacted their spiritual growth. So what service do I do if I just avoid the topic at every go? I do a disservice to everybody. But the problem is if we focus only on one of those top five and we forget the other four, we also do a disservice. You cannot give your way into spiritual growth. However, if you read God's Word, if you regularly engage in mission work, if you pray on a regular basis, and giving is all a part of that, then yes, it has been shown by a lot of people to impact the way that they grow spiritually. Okay, enough of my rambling. Let's go on to Scripture, shall we? In our Scripture lesson today, we have the disciples coming to Jesus. And they're coming to Jesus because they saw somebody casting out demons, and he wasn't one of them. The disciples had been given that authority early on. They had been sent out with the ability to cast out demons. And now all of a sudden they see somebody else doing it. And so they come to Jesus. See, the real question here has to do with insiders and outsiders. The disciples figure that they are part of the inside group. And they see somebody on the outside doing something that only they should be doing, or at least only they feel they should be doing. And so they're coming to Jesus because they want Jesus to basically say, oh yeah, he's doing a terrible thing. Only the insider crew can do that. But instead, Jesus begins to talk not so much about this idea of insiders and outsiders, but if you really pay attention, what he's really starting to talk about is the walk of a Christian. How does a Christian walk? If someone gives you a glass of water because you are a Christian. And then he also goes on and says, hey, if your eye causes you to stumble, if your hand causes you to stumble, if your foot causes you to stumble, get rid of it. But as harsh as that is, the truth of the matter is that your hand doesn't cause you to stumble. Your eye doesn't cause you to stumble. When was the last time you walked into a store and you lost control of your hand and started stealing stuff? My guess is that didn't happen. You didn't say to yourself, boy, my hand has a mind of its own and it just keeps on getting stuff. That's not the way that works. The reality is that we have a sinful heart. And having a sinful heart causes us to walk in a certain way, to cause us to do certain things. And all of a sudden, our walk is going further away from Christ rather than closer to Christ. And so we look at Christ's words, and we know that we need a new heart. We know that we need redemption. We need cleansing. And we know that the only place we can get it is through Christ Jesus. Through baptism, we are created anew. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as new creatures in Christ Jesus, we are cleansed of our sin and we begin a new walk. A walk of life, a walk of faith. And you see, this is important. Because this is why I didn't change the text. Because as much as I didn't want to necessarily tag the threat of hell with the idea of giving, the reality is that giving is simply one part of a much larger theology. A theology of how we live as Christians. A theology of who we are as Christians. How do we walk? How is our walk going? And how are we doing? Yes, we don't want to just sideline giving as if it's the only theology. But it is also a part of that giving in terms of our theology of life. It is part of who we are as Christians. But it's not just giving, by the way. A lot of times, whenever we have stewardship Sundays and whatnot, we always talk about time, talents, and treasures. And truth be told is, that's all part of it too. How are we giving even of ourselves for the sake of Christ Jesus? How's our walk doing? And you see, I think this actually goes even with the message that Jesus has for the disciples. Remember, they come to him with this idea of insiders and outsiders. And sometimes as well-meaning Christians, we come up with the same idea. How many times have I been told by other people that the church just seems like a country club? And I always say, no, 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 it's not like a country club, it's more like a hospital. But even that, sometimes we get the idea that whenever I'm saying it's like a hospital, I'm basically saying it's like the ER wing of the hospital. We only handle emergencies. When the reality is anybody who's ever spent time in or around a hospital will know that it's all about all kinds of things. How you walk, how's therapy, what's your nutrition, what are you eating, how are you living? It's all about getting you healthy. And ultimately, as a church, that's who we are as Christians. We're talking about spiritual growth. We're talking about living as Christians, redeemed by Christ Jesus. Our forgiveness and our redemption is not necessarily found in how we walk, but knowing that we are forgiven, knowing knowing that we have been redeemed by Christ crucified, we do walk in a certain way. And that includes how we read Scripture, how we pray, how often we do some of these things. We should be doing them. Absolutely. And yes, a part of that is also how we give of ourselves, of our time, but yes, even of our treasures. But we're also not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. That's one of the beauties of being in a good, strong Christian church. Believe it or not, you can come along and see everything that the church is doing. In fact, at the end of, well, we're not in October yet, but at the end of October, at 7 p.m., right? I think it's 7 p.m., we have our voters meeting. And guess what? They'll tell you everything that's going on at church. I invite everybody here to come and see, because we're doing quite a bit. And it's really fantastic, and it's really good work. And what we're doing is we're giving opportunities for people to gather around and hear again the word of Christ Jesus, to gather around and hear again that gospel message. But we're also handling things like mission work. Some of our money is going to we have a missionary, Reverend Brian Payne, and hopefully you'll be hearing more about him in our Periscope and bulletin. And we're also giving to our other missionaries, missions that are going on around here. We have Good Shepherd to think about, but we also have the building that's right here. Because honestly, the gospel is being proclaimed here, and we want the gospel to be proclaimed here tomorrow, and the next day, and the next year, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, in 100 years from now. May the Lord be praised. We hope that the gospel message is being proclaimed. But remember, all of this discussion and all of this talk, even though I know it's a touchy topic, it is all grounded in the fact that as Christians, we have been redeemed by Christ crucified. That's done. It's a done deal. You have salvation through Christ Jesus. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.